Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and I am joined today by two fabulous, fun-filled, wise people. Milan Yurkovich. Hey, Milan.
Hey, Steve. How are you? Great to be with you.
Thank you. And Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey, guys. How are ya?
Well, I'm doing all right, but some people are angry, and we've been having a great time getting these 10 tips or 10 ways out to folks, and this week it's 10 ways that you can overcome anger. Now, here's number 9. There's a place for righteous anger when one of God's principal people is violated. Remember, being angry is not a sin, but what we do with our anger may be. Scripture admonishes us to not let the sun go down on our anger, though. In other words, when you feel angry, it's important to deal with it and move past it. Now, this is really an important point here, because a lot of people have convoluted the faith to believe that hatred towards certain people is okay, and they call that righteous anger or righteous indignation. Mm-hmm. And then that leads us to number 10. If you or your family member is struggling with anger, it's not likely to go away by itself. You really do need to work through it. What would you say would be the biggest roadblock to working through the anger? Why don't people just say, well, I'm angry, I got to get rid of this thing?
I think they feel like it's powerful and mm-hmm. they're justified for having it. And it's not until I begin to unpack the hurt underneath it that people get motivated to change. And I love doing that. I love when anger comes into my office, it kind of feels scary when somebody comes in. I think, oh my goodness, I have to kind of batten the hatches here. But as soon as I start talking about their wounds, that person often starts crying. And that is what breaks through. That hard case of anger is somebody who's really wounded inside.
So you're saying anger is there for a reason.
It is. And it's protective. It's like a shield,
it is
a force
the shield.
Field.
That's right. That's exactly
right.
I love how you did that. You were able to, yeah.
And it was kind of a Star Wars thing.
It was. And so there is a disturbance in the force, our personal force, mm-hmm. when we are hurt and harmed. And one of the common things is to lash out in anger. Other people retreat into anxiety. Other people retreat into depression. But we all have to face our hurts.
Yeah. And what happens when an angry person is angry, people go away. So guess what? They feel safe. But eventually, they mm-hmm. feel alone.
Yeah, they do feel alone.
So,
all right, so there it is. 10 ways that you can overcome anger. That's 9 and 10. If you want the others, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Maybe not you. Maybe you're not the one that's angry, but you're living with someone that you just don't understand. Why can't they forgive? Well, you know, sometimes you have to grieve before you can forgive.
Right.
Sometimes it's not, hey, let's just don't be angry anymore. There's a process to all of this, and I wish there wasn't. But hey, it's the process that oftentimes brings us into reality. The reality of our kind of our hidden self or the real self, that's where God wants to do the transforming work. We have this facade, and we're throwing it out there. And the problem is we're looking in the mirror, and we believe the facade to be the true us. But we go in, and we do that work. You look at that stuff, you come out of it, you're not angry anymore. You're not judging people anymore. You're not critical anymore, because you see your own self and you're seeing God's grace engulf you. And then you want other people to experience that. So you're not so quick to be angry at them. You're quicker to understand them. Hey, listen, if you need some help, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the place you call if you need some help, if you're struggling with anger. And you can call and just ask us for these tips. But man, I'm telling you, you get a good counselor, you can really do the work. We'll be back right after this for more of New Life Live.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to our phones. That's what we want to do. And let's go to Karen. She's calling from Dallas, Texas on line 8. Karen, how are you? Welcome to New Life Live.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm fine, thank you.
Good. What's going on?
I'll make it short and ask my question.
Okay.
Okay, I was swimming. I joined a gym last June and I in the pool, and I met this really nice man there, an older man, about 6 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a bank manager, and he's very nice, and it was my birthday coming up, and he offered to buy me something for my birthday, which kind of took me off, you know, didn't expect it. Well, he did many, many nice things for me, bought me many gifts, helped me out because I was in a situation where I wasn't doing as great, you know, that great. Anyway, mm-hmm. We dated on and off. This man was married but separated. Well, at the time he's at home, but now he's in his own place, and he's separated now. We go on and off. We get along. We have problems. He can't confront any situation. We have a bad situation. I can't confront them. He just kind of shuts me out. I call it snowballing. But anyway, we always get back together. And so anyway, the situation with him is I care about him a lot. I really do. But he goes when I'm not around sometimes, and he's made little jokes about this. He goes on the computer, and he loves women that are very top-heavy, likes looking at them. And I'm sure he does other stuff, but I made little hints about, well, first I told him it was wrong. He wasn't a pervert, but it was perversion. And then he does it. And the other day I was on the phone with him, and we're talking, and we started talking about the Lord. And he said, well, I don't want to talk right now about him. He's just about going in his house. I go, why? He said, I don't want to. So I kind of felt right then he might be guilty. The situation with him is I feel it makes me sick. Okay, I care about him.
So what's the question for us? We get what's going on there. What's the question for us?
Okay, my question is, am I wrong dating this man if he's still married, and am I wrong for feeling the way I do about that situation?
All right, well, let's hear our resident experts on people and whether or not they're dating healthy people. Mylan, Sherry, what do you guys think? Is this a good thing that she ought to pursue with all her heart or not?
Absolutely not, Karen.
How about that? No wishy-washy there, Karen.
I hear him.
See, there's a lot of things going on. First of all, if we are into what God wants, listen to this. If you're trying to say something's right or wrong, like pornography, well, what's right is also marriage, and you're actually interfering with the potential of that marriage getting back together again. That's really important for you to understand. Number two.
Wait a second, Mylan.
Yes.
So, Karen, how does that feel?
Well, I understand what he's saying, but he hasn't been together with his wife for like 15 years. They have no relationship, really, and he's finally moved out. And he's in his own place now.
But, Karen, you are believing a man who is married, and you are the other woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Mylan's trying to have you look at.
And you're interested in a man who couldn't make a marriage work. He is obviously not willing to deal with one little problem. You say he snowballs, and he looks at pornography, doesn't even have a conscience enough to feel like it's wrong enough to prevent you even knowing about it. And then you're still pursuing that relationship. A woman of God. Now, Karen, it feels really good to be pursued. Feels really good. Satan knows how good that feels. And I just wonder what in your life you're missing by focusing attention on a man that's still married, using pornography, can't even talk about one problem with him.
I guess because he's been so wonderful and kind, he's helped me out a lot when I've needed him, like since I met him. And he seems to really care about me, but I don't know how much he cares about me if he doesn't care about my feelings.
So
we have a problem.
So let me take us a step deeper. When did your father leave, or how disconnected was he from you?
He left at 5. He was no good, my father.
I know that. I know that. And you know why I know that, Karen? Is because this bank manager who buys you gifts and treats you to wonderful things, it's feeding that little 5-year-old girl.
Do you see that? Can you see how that could work?
Well, I can see what she's saying, but I mean, I kind of really don't care. I didn't have a dad. I mean, my mom would get to kid. Well, my mom had her problems too, but we were only raised with her. I guess it would have been better with a dad. I don't understand all that emotional stuff with dads.
Oh, I get it, but that's right where we're at. You aren't even seeing yet the fact that there's this starving little 5-year-old inside of you that is longing to be acknowledged, longing to be seen and heard. And that little 5-year-old will sacrifice anything, even her own sexual safety.
Sherry, 5-year-olds don't care what dads do at the adult level. They care about whether or not they get a present from them.
You're right. That's a 5-year-old little girl.
She's getting presents.
She gets a present.
I know.
So that feeds the 5-year-old that's been so hurt, just like Sherry's saying, so much so that you still, like a 5-year-old, overlook all of the adult things that he's doing that are unhealthy and degrading of women, and your response is, but he's so nice to me. Right. He gives me presents,
right,
just like the 5-year-old wanted, but Dad went away. Can you see any of this at all?
I can see. I'm listening to you real carefully. I was,
good.
Like you said, I was thinking,
good.
I brought up something once about him seeing a girl about 27. This man's 68. I just really torn to him. So what are you doing with such a young girl like that? Why are you're contributing to her lifestyle? And, you know, she's an escort. And he says, well, because of this. I said, but she's only 27.
What's happening here, Karen, is your anger towards your dad that left. You're trying to catch this guy. You're mad, and your anger is being displaced on this guy. You're kind of trying to catch him because dad left you. This is all really early wounds that I really want you to get some help for, because if you don't, you will, one, not ever get the fulfillment right that you want from a real man, and two, you're going to be driven to men like this that don't really love you, and it's going to hurt you. Mm. It's going to keep harming you. You won't heal, and we want you to heal.
Yeah,
Karen, he probably wants to have sex with you, doesn't he?
Let me just get
he
Karen
is having sex
on
with her.
There.
Not anymore. No, I quit it.
But you did. You see, and so you did sex with him.
Yeah, I felt too guilty. I quit.
I know, but
yeah,
you
but
see, you're having to cross all your lines here. He's making you quote unquote. He is causing you to cross all kinds of lines. And so the companionship and somebody seeing me and giving me gifts and for somebody to touch me and see me, that need for connection is overpowering your smart mind and your biblical mind.
Let me tell you something.
Well said.
A man like him has I don't know what you'd call it, a sixth sense or a third eye or whatever, that knows exactly what a woman will respond to, knows how to woo her, bring her in.
They're predators.
Yeah, so that he can and do what he wants to do. And this is a man that's driven by his sex drive that is out of control.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to do. I want to try to get you... Well, I tell you, I wish you could go to Women in the Battle because you have been traumatized by this.
Would be a great
you can't see it. It would open your eyes a little bit.
Great.
I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice. I hope that that could be helpful to you. And oh my goodness,
it's painful. It's painful to hear, but there are some deep wounds that need deep healing.
I think Karen knew the answers we were going to give
her.
Oh,
I think so too.
We're the good parents here.
we want to
be.
We
really are.
I think she knew what we were going to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she called us to get support, really,
right?
Because she wanted somebody to validate.
Okay.
Which means maybe she doesn't have community around her that would help her do this.
Right. Right. Okay. So. Let's see if we can get you to Women in the Battle or Healing as a Choice. I'll send you Healing as a Choice. Let's go to Sarah, Philadelphia. WBYN is the station. Hello, Sarah. How are you?
Hey, good, thanks. How are you?
Excellent. How can we help you today?
I'm kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place within my in-laws family. I recently found out that my sister-in-law is being cheated on by my brother-in-law. This is like the fifth time. She didn't find out. My husband was the one who found the emails. So far, we only think it's an emotional affair. But basically, the whole family's telling me I can't say anything to her. She's not supposed to know. I have a really good relationship with her. And in the past, I've actually gone over and stayed with her when this has happened in the past. And she's told me before that I promised I would never keep something from her. So
yeah.
I'm just in a really sticky situation.
All right. Well, we're going to ask you to act like Jesus.
And what did Jesus do? Jesus went against the establishment, and Jesus did the right thing. So let me ask you a question.
Right.
Put her shoes on for a second. What would you want her to do if she knew?
Yeah.
What would you want her to do? Speak it, girl.
I would want to know.
Of course you would.
I've had my mother-in-law sit down with me and try to make me promise. My father-in-law got on the phone and told me to swear before God I wouldn't tell her, and I said I couldn't make that promise.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so proud of you.
But here's the good news, Sarah. Here's what you need to say to them. Okay, I've processed this. I've talked to the most brilliant people in the world on radio. Okay? And here's what they're saying. I made a commitment to her that there would not be anything that I would know that I would keep from her, right? That's a commitment you guys made, right? You have an agreement, right? That trumps everything else, trumps the family system, trumps all of this. And you say, so I understand why you want me to do this, can't do it. And so I'm going to tell her, unless you would like to be her hero, and tell her before I get a chance to tomorrow.
Right. And I actually even called her husband the other day, and I said, hey, look, like, Josh, this is, like, where I'm at with all of this. I said, I literally have been avoiding your wife because I can't even see her right now, knowing that I'm keeping something from her.
Right.
And it's important that she get told.
Well, you know? If you've listened to the program, you know we often disagree on everything. But we all agree, you're the one. You can tell her. And you made a commitment to her, and so you keep that commitment. And I got to tell you, when I was being betrayed, my best friend called and said, here's what's happening.
Mm.
Really?
And I did not.
Wow.
I did not know. I did not see it. And I'm telling you, I am so grateful that it was a woman had the courage to say to me, you are being betrayed and you don't know it. And
you deserve the right to know.
Oh, and then I could deal with the reality, and I had some choices that I could make. But I'm telling you, you feel so stupid when you're told, and to be told 10 years later or something, it's horrible. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and you share that truth with somebody, it gives them the freedom. And to decide that someone can't handle the truth, to decide that, what an arrogant, irresponsible thing to do.
or decide to cover it in order to protect their son.
Yeah.
One of the goals of our show is to go beyond the caller and to help people in the audience that's listening.
Right.
And many of us have family systems that are sick and dysfunctional, and there is a failure of nerve on many of our parts to call it and to call it what it is, which is a collusion to stay dysfunctional. Mm. And that family system wants to hold everybody in its sway, in its trap. And there's a failure of nerve on our part to rise up and say, no, I'm not going to do so. So when that happens, we have to count the cost and ask ourselves, am I willing to pay the price of bucking a dysfunctional family system? Because I did that once with my wife, Kay, and we were cast to the outer fringes of the family system. For the rest of that family's life.
Right.
And that was okay to us. We were willing to pay that price.
Yeah.
Because it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. Well, in Toxic Faith, I write about the greatest role you can play is to be the outcast. That's the courageous person. If you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's amazing. A phone call could be the beginning of a totally different existence on this planet. We'll be back.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 20th to the 22nd.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Okay, let's go to, how about Aaron from Pismo Beach listens online. Aaron, you're on with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Steve Arterburn. Welcome.
You guys are like my family. Thank you so much for taking this call.
Sure. How could we help?
We're glad. We're glad to be your family, Aaron.
Yay. Well, I have been listening to you for so many years. I used to listen while I was at work, and, you know, that was no problem. And so I've learned over the number of years that, you know, I kept hearing this PTSD, and I think I might have a bit of that or a lot of it, because I can open the mail and see a bill and freak out. So I'm just wondering, and I have a whole history of obvious things like my brother committing suicide and watching what I believe was watching my mother be killed by her second husband. Oh. She didn't get killed, but it was what I thought. I mean, as a 5-year-old, what I thought was happening. And I'm really shaking all of a sudden. I watched my mother
or my mother said to us, she would say, you know, you guys, you make me miserable when you come home from school. I'm not going to be here.
Okay, so, Erin.
I believe it.
Hold on, Erin.
Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath.
I just got to tell you, a parent telling a child, I may not be here when you get home, is it? Let me tell you all the different things it is. It's so stupid. It's so sick. It's so traumatizing. Anything that you feel and have felt, you are justified. It's one of the worst. When I think of how I send my kids off to school, I put them on the bus, and I say, go get them and, you know, have the best time and tell me if anything disgusting happens today at school and all these fun things. And then I think about you hearing, I may not be here when you get home if you're not good to me. I want to slap her. I talk about righteous indignation. I'm angry for you. Now I want to help you get beyond that, okay?
And Steve, she's been gone for 10 years, and
and you're still feeling it. All right, Sherry.
I mean, I couldn't be in a more amazing. You know, I have so many different layers of this, but what you said did validate it. But here's the thing: now it's affecting my life because I am in an amazing Christian marriage. And people that love me, and I just keep reliving it.
Okay, so Erin, are you willing to do something scary, or do you want to just stay safe and miserable?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay, so what do you think she needs to do, Sherry?
Well, I love the fact that you can, one, tell your painful story. It was painful to hear, and so I like that you can tell it. Trauma, even though your mom has been gone for 10 years, if you don't get treatment, it will live. It's actually not gone because it's reenacting itself on a daily basis with beliefs that sound something like this. I'm in danger. I'm not in control. When you get the bill, right? Even though you've got a really good husband who has created stability, you don't really believe it's stable yet. So, practically, I would have you do some work with a good trauma therapist that does something called EMDR, the eye movement.
I've been waiting to hear that.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad you've been waiting because I don't often talk about it on the show, but when you go in and you heal those trauma wounds, you know what? You're not going to relive it with that clinician. You can't. You already lived it once. But that treatment is actually the number one treatment in the World Health Organization, WHO, for PTSD because it helps you touch it, but then move past it. It's like your body is trying to have the end of the story. And you won't get to the end of the story. You're going to live in this book of terror and fear until you do the work to help you resolve the pains that have happened to you.
That's really a great analogy. When you said that, this is my second marriage, and my husband, he's wonderful. I mean, I don't know. He's like dropped from heaven. It's amazing. He keeps saying, just turn the page. And I'm like, really? What do you do? How do you do that?
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see. And I was married also for 20 years to somebody who verbally abused me and who was so completely, I felt neglected and never physically ever, but it was invisible. And okay. I was always overweight as a kid. So all these different things, I realize, looking back now, and I've had cancer two times, and I'm like, did I bring that on myself? You know,
yeah.
I mean,
okay.
All these really interesting layers
all
of
right.
this, and I just think, I didn't even know where to really start
okay.
to have my first husband always threaten
Let us try to get you to the right kind of help. Mylon, you had one comment you wanted to add here.
Well, out of those shows that you did, Sherry, with Dr. Kurt Rounsen, some of them, one of his classic lines is if we don't resolve the trauma, then we live out the trauma instead of living out life.
Yeah.
And that's what you're experiencing. The trauma is what's living, and it's not voluntary. It just pops up. It is a home invasion robber, and you can choose to do something about that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm really glad you called. I'm going to send you a copy of Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers by Dr. Jill. She wrote that. I think it'll be an incredible help to you. And we'll try to find a trauma specialist. Things happen when you go to see a trauma specialist. It's all they care about. That's all they deal with. They know how to bring resolution to some very unresolved things.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
Okay, we're back. Let's talk with Sylvia from San Jose, listening on line number 3. Sylvia, welcome to New Life. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How about you all?
Good. What's going on?
You know, my question is, how do I talk to my granddaughter that has had a same-sex relationship?
Okay. Well, how about how do you talk with your daughter or son? Is it
my daughter? It's my daughter's daughter.
Uh huh.
My granddaughter.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
What's your daughter saying to her?
You know, my daughter's not really talking. Excuse me, but she really hasn't. She just called me and told me that her daughter had a one-night stand with a young lady,
mm-hmm.
And that's all she's told me. And I told her that, you know, she said that we really need to pray and what we're doing and fasting, but I really haven't had an in-depth talk with her or my son-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And my granddaughter, I haven't spoken with her either. She has, you know, she doesn't know that I know. We haven't spoken about that either.
Okay. So, I guess, and looking at the strategy here, guys, it is mm-hmm. what does the grandmother say, or what does the grandmother kind of coach the daughter in saying mm-hmm. to the granddaughter? What are your thoughts about that?
I'd agree. I would say, Sylvia, you need to get together with the mom and dad,
mm-hmm.
like Steve,
mm-hmm.
you're saying,
yeah.
and have a meeting about this. You know, you mm-hmm. need to sit down and talk and say, is this a concern to you? It is to me. And what are we going to do about it? And trying to help this daughter and have a meeting with the daughter, perhaps with the three of you.
See, not the granddaughter there, but you, the son-in-law,
yeah.
and your daughter. That's where you start. Mm-hmm. You start there.
Okay.
And it sounds like there's a lot of people going, kind of spiritualizing the pain right now. I'm glad you're all praying and fasting. I'm not saying to not do that. But I think it's because of the shock and the pain and the hurt. When a parent finds out that their daughter, right, or granddaughter has acted out with someone of the same sex, do you know what happens next? That parent's, all their dreams, all their hopes in that moment crush. Right? The daughter that you thought you'd see in that white wedding dress, somehow it just goes off the skids. And the parent finds themselves in a lot of pain. And they start asking themselves, what did I do? Or what did I not do?
That's right.
Because I feel responsible for either not being enough or not knowing this was happening. And then they don't know how to talk about it or even be in a relationship with the daughter.
And here's the thing. Let's just say that we could give you 8 golden words to say to your granddaughter. If then, after those golden words are said, she has a little interaction with the mother whose dreams are shattered and is fasting to try to produce something, then it really doesn't matter what you said to your granddaughter, because what's really important is how she's going to be treated and what's going to be said by her mother and father. So Mylan's saying, get the three of you together first. I think that's important. But in the meantime, until you can get together, you should be saying to your daughter, hey, listen, you got to love her. You got to pull her in. You can't hold her at arm's length because you're confused or disappointed. You got to love her to death.
Right. You know, and the thing about it was, is that I didn't know this until my daughter told me. Because the thing is that my granddaughters go to a Christian school, and my daughter did not share with me that this particular granddaughter had same-sex attractions when she was like 13, and my daughter and my granddaughter had also gotten molested, and so, you know, it was a lot of baggage that gone to counseling.
Who molested her? Who molested her?
She doesn't know. She was going to counseling, but that didn't surface until after she stopped going to counseling. But my daughter lives in a different state than I do, so
Your daughter doesn't know who molested her daughter.
No, no, no idea.
Okay, that's not acceptable. See, that's just not acceptable.
Because her daughter could be reenacting that a part of that molestation. Like, let's say she was molested by a man. Well, here her hormones are jumping into her body, but men might make her really afraid. So she might be trying to find comfort in a connection with a sexual connection with a female.
That would be safer, see? So she's been sexualized, and your daughter doesn't even know who did that. Doesn't even know if it was a man or a woman.
Sylvia, I think it's really important to realize your granddaughter's been traumatized. What we're all saying here is she's been traumatized. I'm going to guess that there's other reckless behaviors that might be in there as well.
And what? She's homeschooled, and they've been very sheltered. My daughter has.
Okay, well,
and that's the thing about it is that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, well, that's part. That could. There's another possible problem. If a person is overly restricted, then out of rebellion, they want to fling to the other side and do stuff that is wild and against what their training is, that they might resent. I don't know how heavy-handed your daughter is. But what I'm hearing here is that sometimes there's a reason why kids do things. And so they're highly impulsive, and they don't know how to control themselves. Impulsivity is super high at this age. Number two, if she's been traumatized and molested, then there's a part of that reactivity we've spoken about. And then there is a recoiling against parental control, which happens. And if there has been a highly protected, secluded, structured world, then she can fling off on the other side. Newton spoke about it, as he talked about, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And by sitting down and having a talk with a family therapist, we can find out what her resentment levels are toward the parents, because she also might be doing this to punish her parents.
All right. I'm going to send you two books. I'm going to send you How We Love Our Kids. Mylan Kay wrote this, and I'm going to ask you to give that to mom and dad. And then I'm going to send you Every Young Woman's Battle, and that's something that mom and dad can go through with her at another point, not right now, but the first thing is have a really great conversation with them about what's going to happen. Now, given what I've heard here, I have to tell you this, if you guys could get into a therapist's office and plot this out with somebody, and you hold on, we're going to try to find that for you. That's really the ultimate, is a counselor, a Christian counselor, that could say, here's what would be really good to do.
Well, they
first
need to get her in, actually, because I really think with her, I honestly think with her granddaughter, the sexual abuse that has happened by, we don't know, I really think it's driving it. And if that's ignored right now, they're going to miss her altogether.
Right.
No, it has to be looked at.
Yep.
And we our history does not go away.
No,
does it?
It doesn't.
Nope. We have to face it in order to help heal it away, not forget it away.
Right.
And in working with people, myself in trauma, that have same-sex attractions, there are a number of them that have an abuse experience underneath it.
Absolutely.
And we've got to go in and treat that, because somehow the wires in their mind sexually get crossed.
That's right.
There's a lot of confusion they have to sort out.
Yeah.
And teenagers at this age are already confused.
Yep.
And so it's a very interesting time that they need to explore it all.
Words said to a teenager are extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
And words not said are even more important. All right, now let's go to Sandra from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Listens online. Sandra, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Okay, I'm going to ask my question. Last summer, my mother passed away in a nursing home at the age of 92, and I'm doing pretty well on the grieving process, except for one thing. I'm still carrying some guilt, which I honestly do believe is false guilt, because I wasn't there in the room when she passed. And it wasn't like I was out of town, but it's also not like I did it on purpose. They called me on a Saturday morning and said they couldn't wake her up. So I went in and I sat with her all day, and my husband was with me, and we left for a while. We came back in the evening, and then at night I had to make a decision whether to stay or whether to go home. And I made the decision to go home, and tried to rush there the next morning, and she passed a few minutes before I got there.
Okay.
And honestly, I think it really, you know, I love my mother, and I really did want to be there. But I also think it really goes to me feeling I'm connecting it to a problem I have with time management. That if I could have managed my time better, if I could have made different decisions, I could have been there on time.
Sandra.
Yes.
How much do you review and rehearse all your decisions?
I'm a process thinker, and
that's not what I said. That's not what I said.
Okay, so hold on. We're going to get right back to you after this break. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. I'm really looking forward to being with a lot of wonderful people at our Life Recovery Conference in Washington, D.C. It's a great time to get a little boost in your recovery, gain some new insight from some great people who understand addiction, recovery, and all that the 12 steps can do down the path toward healing and hope and wholeness. Come join us for the Life Recovery Conference. It's always a great time for anyone who's interested in what are those 12 steps and how better can I utilize them in my life and my recovery. You can even learn how to run a group. Maybe you never thought about doing that, but you'll feel competent and confident after the Life Recovery Conference.
The Life Recovery Conference is coming to Washington, D.C., May 18th and 19th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to liferecoverygroups.com.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel
like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
All right, Sandra. Here we go. Mylan?
How much do you review and rehearse all your decisions? To process something is different than reviewing and rehearsing, to second guess, third guess yourself. How much do you do that in other arenas as well?
I do it a lot.
Okay.
I do.
So that is the issue here, and you're second guessing this issue. Now, the reason I chose to speak first on this call is because the very same thing happened to me.
Oh, my.
My mom died. I was not there. And I had been with her, and it was days and weeks. And then the time I wasn't there, she passed away. I chose to go to work that morning. Mm-hmm. And so there are choices we make, and we can't time God's timing of when he's going to take a person's soul into his presence. But I think one of the things you have to look at is your pattern of second-guessing yourself. I could have done it better. I should have done it this way. He or she should have done a better or more thorough job. All this stuff is a part of, I think, what's going on with you.
Hey, Sandra. So, based on what Mylan just said, I want to take it a little deeper. Okay. I want to take you out of that left brain time management place, and I want to take you right into your heart. Mm-hmm. Because I think what happened to you was actually, you were impacted. It was a wound to your heart that you weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wound. And what got laid down on the tracks of that wound of not being there is a negative belief. It's a lie. And the negative belief is, I should have done something, or I did something wrong.
Yep.
And that negative belief is in the spin cycle that Mylan talked about. I did something wrong. Now, when I'm working with people and I'm trying to help get them to the other side, do you know what the other side of that would be? What would the 180 be of I did something wrong? What would the very opposite be of I did something wrong?
It's on the tip of my tongue that I did everything that I could.
Yes. You got it. I did everything. I did the best that I could. I don't read minds. I don't have a crystal ball.
It wasn't ideal.
Yeah, it wasn't ideal. See. You just went to bed because each night you went to bed, your mom woke up, and yes, she was in a place. You knew it would be happening, but you did not know the time or the hour. Only God did. And so according to what you have as a human being on planet Earth, unless you want to be God, I did the best I could. And so beginning to tell yourself the truth, when that negative belief comes up and it starts to kind of wire you up, you need to start speaking the truth. Like the Apostle Paul said, the first mind coach, you need to think on the things that are right, that are pure, that are reasonable. And what was reasonable is, you know what, Sandra, you did the best you could.
That's actually very similar to, I did see a grief counselor, and that's very similar to what she told me, because my mom was in the nursing home for 6 years, and I would visit her frequently, take care of her laundry, take her to doctor's appointments, and the grief counselor told me that whenever that thought comes to my mind that I should have been there, replace it with a thought of the things that I did do for her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, what I love about this is, you know, sometimes we have to tell people that made big mistakes, hey, God will forgive you, you can forgive yourself. Here we're saying, you really did. the best you could do.
Yeah, she
and
did.
You've got to be satisfied with that. I'm going to send you a little book. I hope that it will help you. And it's Henry Cloud's new book, The Power of the Other. And I think you're going to gain a lot from that, and you're going to see how you impacted her life. You were the other in her life. Anybody else, if you want that book, a gift of any amount, will send it to you. I think we can squeeze in one last call. I want to talk. They've been on hold here for a couple of programs. But Jessica from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, how are you?
Hey, good, guys. I'm so happy that I was able to get on air with you guys. I am a Women in the Battle alumni. Hi, Sherry.
Hey,
I
Jessica.
Love you.
We don't have you back.
We don't have a lot of time.
I could just give you a hug.
Okay.
Oh, hug back, girl.
Well, we don't have a lot of time. I'm glad you threw that in that you love her. But ask us a question. Let's see if we could help you real quick.
Yeah, so it's been about a year, maybe coming up on 2 years since I experienced some betrayal with my husband, and we're transitioning back into ministry. My question is, I'm feeling a very strong, strong call on my life to minister to other women. In fact, the Lord is just throwing people in my path. And but my husband is not exactly on board with me disclosing any of what we've been through. He's very concerned about his reputation. And I guess my question is, how can I effectively minister to women without disclosing a lot of my story? And then what boundaries do I set in place while I pray and wait for my husband to kind of jump on board with what I believe is God's future plan?
Okay, all right. We can answer that. What do you think, guys?
Well, she's not going to like my answer.
Okay.
You're probably not going to like it, Jessica, but I want to put the pause button on your marriage. On you guys going back into ministry right now. Remember what I said. It's 3 to 5 years for you guys to get to the other side of this. I actually think both you and your husband want to get over it so bad that you want to get into the business of getting submerged in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make sure that you guys are really in a sober place, that there isn't going to be some crazy thing that's going to pop its head up in another 6 months or a year. And if your husband is afraid of talking right now, I go, how much work has he done on his own shame? So I think there's more work to do. So that was my thought.
So I was going to say the same thing. Yep. You have to work through your husband's shame.
Yes.
And that is a place where he is stalled out. And until you do that, you can have all the calling of God in the world. But if you want to be a partner with your partner, your husband, your love of your life, and you want to turn this into a ministry instead of being defined by the sin, then you have to get to a place where you're both ready.
And I'm just going to encourage you to say to him, it's your calendar. It's your calendar. We're going to go by your calendar. And when you do that, it's so honoring of him, it kind of brings you closer to the point where you are able to share. But you know what?
I see people have babies right now in the first year. I see people buy houses. I see some of our couples do a lot of things to try to feel good.
Listen, everybody said to me 5 years. And I said, yeah, okay, fine. Fifth year came. Stuff happened.
Yeah.
Healing occurred. I didn't do anything different. There is something very, very, it's not biblical or whatever, but 5 years.
You've got to stay in it.
Things happen. You just need to be patient.
Yeah.
I hope and pray that you will. And let me also, I'll send you Henry Cloud's book, The Power of the Other. It's his new book. It's charting new territory. It's not about boundaries or anything. It's about the power of other people and the influence of other people on folks. And a gift of any amount, I'll send it to you. You don't have to go and pay retail. Pay help. Tale. By supporting New Life, a gift of any amount, we send it to you. We have a lot of great things coming up for you. You know, Every Man's Battle is May 4th in Orange County. June the 1st, we go to Washington, D.C. Now, our Intimacy in Marriage Workshop, talk about something that will help your brain and every other part of you. We have seen disastrous dead marriages come to life. People that hated each other with restraining orders are doing great. 95% success rate, with 75% of the people that come say, if it doesn't happen this weekend, we're probably not going to stay together. So call us about that. Also, we've got Restore Hope for a Woman's Heart. That's November the 9th. And then coming up there in Washington, D.C., is our Life Recovery Conference in May. We want to see you there. Thanks for being here. Thank you, Mylan. Thank you, Sherry. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.